In Matthew chapter number 26, we're going to look at some things by the grace of God about Peter and about our Lord and Savior. And hopefully today that we'll all leave here closer to Him than when we came. And not only will He deal with our hearts, but we'll submit our hearts to Him. And I want to be more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. You all need for me to be more like Jesus. Amen. And you all need each other to be more like Jesus. It's just, it's almost cliche to say, you know, what would Jesus do? But we should live a life that is an example of what Jesus would do. And by the grace of God, Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 31, we'll look at the Word today. Let's pray before we let the Word of God deal with our heart, though. Father, we sure love You and thank You again for Your Word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word. Thank You for the opportunity to meet here today, Lord. I ask that You would bless us in a mighty way, breathe on this service. And Lord, You know me better than I even do, and I know one thing. I'm not qualified for this job. Lord, You need to show up and do the job. Lord, help us. Work in us, on us, and through us for Your honor and Your glory. Change us for Your honor and Your glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 26, beginning in 31, it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples." So here we see Peter and God's prophesying in the flesh to Peter and to the disciples. And we see Peter's response. And then after this, Jesus is betrayed, He's taken away and crucified. And as He's taken away, Peter is following afar off. We get to verse 69 of that same chapter. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." It's interesting to me that in a time of need, he forgot God's word. But after he had messed up, he remembered God's word. This book says that there is one that will judge. And he says, the word that I speak will judge. So all these people around the world, all these people that get witnessed to and they deny the word, they'll be judged by the word of God. You and I, the judgment seat of Christ, our actions will be judged by the Word of God. Our works will be judged by the Word of God. And we are expected to be aiming for the standard of submitting to and living out what God expects us and tells us from this book. Back in verse 31 of chapter 26, the book of Matthew, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Peter was warned. He was warned by Jesus Christ himself. That's not just a warning to Peter, by the way. He was warning the disciples. And if you're a true disciple of Christ, he's warning you today that you can get out of God's will. You could deny Christ. We have all been guilty of it. We've all been guilty of having an opportunity to brag on Jesus Christ. We've all been guilty of the Holy Spirit guiding us in one direction and us deciding to go against the Holy Spirit of God and grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit and do our own thing instead of what God's called us to do. And then that guilt sets in. That conviction sets in. Because the Holy Spirit of God has called us to be a witness to a lost and dying world. And when we deny that, probably more times than three, amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. It's convicting.
Amen.
But Peter was warned. Look at 33 through 35. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. He was willing. He was willing. In his mind, Peter said, I have made up my mind to follow you. And he was so willing in his mind that he called Jesus Christ a liar. He didn't just go against the words of the living God that was in his presence. He went against Old Testament prophecy. He said in verse 31, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus Christ quotes Old Testament prophecy to Peter, and he says with his own mouth to Peter that you're going to deny me. And Peter was so proud that he stood in the face of Christ and called him a liar. Dangerous ground to be on. He was warned of Christ. He was willing in his mind. In 69 through 74, we know he comes through and he denies Christ. That the damsel comes to him and he denies Christ. The maid comes to him and he denies Christ. And the group that stood by, they say, We know that you're one of them because of your speech. Wouldn't that be something to be accused of being a Christian because you were different than the world? They said, We know that you've been with Jesus. They could tell that he had been with Jesus Christ. Praise God. But he denies. He curses and denies. He was warned, and in his mind, he was willing, but he was weak. He was weak. And that's where we are. A lot of the times we are geographically in this flesh. But God warns us to not be spiritually in this flesh. We are in this flesh geographically until God calls us out. But God warns us to not serve the flesh. To not worship the flesh. To not try to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Peter in his pride, in a fleshly response to the Word of God, not me. Maybe these other guys, Lord. But you notice something? It doesn't say anything about the other guys denying Christ. Now I grant you, Peter gets a bad rap. Peter's the only one that got out of the boat, and Peter was following him afar off, and some of the folks weren't even following him. Sometimes things get rough and people just quit following, and then the one that's following sometimes can end up out of the race, and people look at the one out of the race and say, oh, that's a terrible thing, he's out of the race, and it is, but some people never got in the race to start with. Amen. They get saved and they're satisfied with salvation and they just sit around and do nothing for Jesus Christ. They don't pray, they don't read their Bible, they don't witness, they don't do anything to glorify God. And then we look at the ones that are trying when they get out, when they're struggling, and say, look at that mess over there. Well, how about the fact he was in the battle and some of the others weren't? Peter was following afar off. That's our problem. A lot of times we're following Christ afar off. We like to hang a little bit closer to the world and keep an eye on Jesus and say, well, one of these days I'm going to catch up with him, but right now I'm fooling around here with me. And when you're following afar off, you're headed for the same place Peter headed. He was weak. Jesus Christ told him, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the problem with this flesh. It's weak when it comes to doing right spiritually, but it's very strong when it wants to go the wrong direction. This flesh is bent on evil. This flesh is bent on wickedness. This flesh is bent on self-satisfaction and self-worship. And it takes the grace of God, the mercy of God, the strength of God, the power of God, and the hand of God that we would follow Him and not this flesh. You cannot live for Jesus Christ following Him afar off. We need to be walking with Him. Peter was warned. He was willing in his mind. But he had a heart full of pride, and he was weak. He was wasteful. Look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder, or go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So here we see the wastefulness of Peter. He wasted a chance in verse 38. Now we've got to realize that the disciples were with Jesus, and he had the disciples stay except for the inner circle, three, Peter, James, and John. He had them go with him, and he's telling them to watch and pray. He's telling them, watch with me. And Peter wastes. Look at verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He wasted an opportunity to obey Jesus Christ. And he wasted, look at verse 41, watch him pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He wasted an opportunity to pray. And he wasted an opportunity to stay in God's will, in God's strength, and to remain faithful. Watch and pray. Watch with me. He said, how do we watch with him? The words of God. Watch and pray. Here he nails us down on prayer and Bible study. We ought to have this book in us. We ought to have so much of this book in us. Hey, if you should be full enough that it gets up past here and it starts falling out of your mouth. Amen. Amen. It's the Word of God. Reading your Bible. He says, watch and pray. How do we see things Jesus' way? How do we learn to be more like Christ? How do we learn how to walk with Him and talk with Him and be with Him and fellowship with Him and befriend Him and try to understand His friendship with us so we can be friends to Him and friends with others? We do that by reading the words of God. He says, watch and pray. That's the two secrets to a Christian life right there. Watch, read the book, walk with Jesus Christ in His Word, and pray. Amen. And Peter wasted the opportunity to pray. Peter denies the Lord thrice, three times. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus Christ is tempted. of the devil three times. And without sin, because he's God. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And you realize when Peter was tempted to deny Christ, the devil was employing all those things. Now I'm going to read between the lines a little bit and suggest that maybe the devil sent this young lady to him first. We say, well, Peter was tricked by a girl. Peter ran from a girl. Peter this, Peter that. You know how many girls have got men out of the service of God? You know how much time Solomon talks about in Proverbs? The strange woman. You know how many times he warns his son about her steps going down to hell, about her flattering eyes, about her sweet words? Could you see that little girl coming up to Peter and say, hey, weren't you with one of them? Weren't you with them? Weren't you with that Jesus? And Peter's like, she's kind of pretty. I don't want her to know that I'm on the other side. All I know is this. The devil works through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He takes Jesus up to this pinnacle, this mountain, and he's showing him all these things, and he tries the same things. He attacks Jesus the same way any other man would have been tempted through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He tempts Jesus the same way. Oh, you could do this. Aren't you proud? You're a man of God. You're God's son. You could jump off this. The angels would come. Now look at all this you could have if you just worship me. That's where most people lose it. Amen. That's why we have all these Holly weirdos out there making movies. And the sad part is, saved people are paying these idiots to watch the junk that they put out. Amen. Amen. Yep. Because one day the devil said, you could have all this if you just bow down and worship me. And they said, okay. So, well, I'd never do that. Well, maybe not on that scale. But blood-bought, born-again believers do it all the time. All the time. What would it cost to get you to deny Christ? What would it cost to get you to Judas Christ? What would it cost? What does it cost? Sometimes it's just a little hit in the pride. Amen. A little shot to the ego. And that's where Peter was. Oh, you're one of them, not me. Another maid comes along. You're one of them, not me. Here comes the group of people. I recognize you. You talk like that Jesus guy. So he fixed that real quick. Started acting like the world. You know what that is? That's you at the lunchroom at work. And they tell dirty jokes, and you sit there and listen to it. That's them cussing and carrying on, and you slipping one in there every once in a while. If you're saved, and you're still doing that because you'd rather fit in with the crowd than fit in with Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that I'm not preaching any of you on that, but I know one thing. I've been saved long enough to know that this flesh is bent on doing wrong. And I've been around enough lunchrooms and break rooms and men and women, by the way. Women are just as disgusting as men with their language anymore because of equal rights. You know, they got the right to be as disgusting as evil as a man does. And they do that. They employ that often. But I've been around those situations, and they want to antagonize you. They want to tell the filthy jokes in front of you. They want to cuss in front of you. They're trying to get you to come out from under the safety of doing right and just see how real this Jesus is to you. But Peter had wasted all these opportunities. In the Garden of Eden, it's interesting to me how bold the devil gets. Look how bold he is today. Do you realize in the Garden of Eden, he went to Eve and attacked Eve to get to Adam. Get to Adam. Right? In Mark chapter 4, he goes directly to the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And he launches an attack on God himself. Brazen, isn't he? You think he won't mess with you? You see these TV preachers, these idiots on there, you send me 30 devils, I'll whoop them. I'll tell you what, the devil's got more in his shoe than any of us could handle. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus Christ that fight the devil. It ain't me and you. But you get these people out there that think they're going to ward off the devil. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. The best thing you can do is just claim the name of Jesus Christ and try to get away from them. Amen. Claim the blood and get away. But he's attacking God himself. Do you know what the biggest opportunity Peter missed? The biggest mistake Peter made was not praying. Jesus Christ knew, like nobody's ever known, the battle between the flesh and God that a believer has. Because although I can't wrap my mind around it and understand it all, he was all man and all God on this earth. And his flesh went through the things yours and I go through. But there was a difference. He was clean inside. Amen. He was clean inside. So he didn't give in to any of those temptations. But he knew what it was like to be tempted. He knew what it was like to be tired. He knew what it was like to be weary. He knew what it was like to be desperate. To not follow the flesh. Isn't that something? That almost seems blasphemous to say, but he did. He knows you better than you do. Because as God, he walked in the flesh that you walk in. The difference is what's inside. What's inside. You realize he prayed, Jesus Christ prayed 3 times as he went to the cross. And look what he says in verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now look what he says over in 42. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You notice the change in that prayer? He starts out asking, oh, Lord, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass away. And then as he prays, he's getting further from the flesh and closer to the Father. Now he's saying, okay, so maybe it won't pass away. Thy will be done. If Peter would have prayed those 3 times, he could have had the strength to not deny Christ. But he needed strength from God because Peter's strength was coming from here, not here. Look at John 21. John 21. The resurrected Christ comes back, shows himself to the disciples. Verse 3 of John 21, Simon Peter saith unto them, talking to the other disciples, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And then we go on down through here, and Jesus Christ, he feeds him. But I want to notice something. Simon Peter, he had to be going through a terrible situation in his soul. Remember, he wept bitterly after he denied Christ. He had conviction. He had that feeling of guilt, discouragement. And he quit. He went back to fishing. He went back to his old life. That's what a lot of folks do when they get saved. They get saved, they get in for a while, they mess up. And here's the problem. When they mess up, they think like man instead of like Christ. And when they mess up, They quit. Easy victory for the devil. He can get them discouraged. He can get them off. He can get them off the side of the road somewhere. He can get them to where they quit. They give up. They're so guilty, and he just plays on that guilt and plays on that guilt and plays on that guilt till they're of no use for the Lord. But you notice something here? Peter wasn't seeking Jesus. Jesus sought Peter.
Amen.
Jesus went to that shore and called out to Peter. And you know what the funny thing is? A born-again, blood-bought believer will get out of God's will, and they will sit in a church service, and the Lord Jesus Christ will call out to them, and they'll ignore it over and over and over again because of pride and guilt. Oh, the devil's done convinced me I can't be used of God. Well, if you're saved, God's not done with you if you're still breathing.
Amen.
And neither's the devil, by the way. And then people will sit there and they'll say, well, you know, I'd like to go forward. Now, you don't have to go forward to get right, but it sure is a sign of getting right. Amen. When you don't care what anybody thinks but you and Jesus, and you're willing to take that walk, that million-mile walk down the aisle, and get on your face and cry out to God, even if it's not with openly heard words, and them tears flow, and you get up clean again, and God snatched you back out of the mouth of the lion again for the umpteenth time, and put you back on the road, but people are too proud, and they have too much of a perverted view of who Christ is, because the devil says he's all judgment, and he'll get you. The way the devil gets you is through your pride, because he assumes that you think like he does, and he's wrong on everything, amen? And he's right on some things when it comes to us, though. He knows that we think God's like we are. And because you can't forgive somebody, because there's something in your life that you're struggling with forgiving, there's somebody in your life that you're bitter against, there's some little thing that got under your craw once, and you've let that turn into the root of bitterness and take over your life, as little as that was, and you know it was little. And then you think, well, how could I do this to a big God and him forgive me? Because God is a forgiving God. Peter wasn't seeking him. Peter quit. He went back to his old life. You know what it says, though, in verse 3? It says, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You know why it says that in this book? And I believe this wholeheartedly. Because you don't go back to the old life and find satisfaction. You don't go back to the old life and find joy. You don't go back to the old life and find that missing piece of your life. You don't go back there. All you do is go back to the old life and make a bigger mess. And then Jesus Christ comes along. He says, cast your net on the right side of the ship. I don't think that's by mistake either, amen? He was on the wrong side to start with. He said, cast your net on the right side. And when he got listening to Jesus and obeying Jesus again, guess what? He started being fruitful again. The old life is not the answer. If it was the answer, you could have stayed in it. Peter says, I quit. Jesus Christ says, not so fast. Have you any meat? And he comes along and he asks Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these? I've heard people say, well, I think when he's saying lovest thou me more than these, he's talking about the fish. I don't think so. I think he's talking about Peter's pride. Remember what Peter said a little bit ago? Though all men, including the disciples, including James and John, forsake thee, or be offended, I'll never be offended. I think he's shooting Peter right in the pride. Amen. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, you know I love you. He didn't say, you know I love you more than anybody. But you have to know in his heart, Peter's taking a shot going, ooh, I was pretty boastful. Amen. Then he says, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? We don't have this account in the Bible, but it's historically very commonly given as Peter going to the cross and asking to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified. He wasn't worthy of being crucified the same way Jesus Christ was. We also have an account in the Bible after this circumstance here where Jesus asks him three times if he loves him. Peter preaches and thousands get saved. That's really important. Because Peter disobeyed God, quit, answered the voice of Christ when he called him back, and God used him like he'd never used him before. He'd do the same thing for you. He'd do the same thing for any of us. If he's calling, he's got a reason. Amen. The devil wants people to stay out. He doesn't want you living a life that brings God honor and glory. When Jesus Christ, he is our example, ultimately. We're to have the mind of Christ and be Christ-like. When Jesus Christ prayed three times, that was an example to the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. The closest people that walked with him on this earth, he called to watch and pray because they were weak. How long do you think you can make it without reading your Bible and praying? If Peter, James, and John could get out, John, that was able to say of himself, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved, not in boastful fashion, but because he really knew that Jesus loved him, and he could get out. If Peter, the mighty swinger of the sword, he could get out. How prideful would it be for us to think that we don't need to read our Bible and pray to stay in? He gave that example to Peter, James, and John, but he gives that example to them and for us also. David talked about praying three times a day. Daniel talked about praying three times a day. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, prayed three times in one day here in the garden. Prayer is important. I believe, I may be wrong, I may get to heaven and the Lord say, well, Peter wasn't really crucified that way. They chopped his head off and threw it in the ditch. I don't know. But I believe that historically, there's a lot of evidence and a lot of people say that Peter was crucified upside down. Jesus prayed three times going to the cross. If that's true, that Peter was crucified upside down, I can tell you how I believe. You believe what you want, but I believe this. I believe Peter prayed three times and got the strength to be crucified and got the strength to tell him, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Savior was crucified. God wants your heart. He wants our hearts. If you're going to get the right view of the flesh, you're going to do it by reading this Bible. Amen. Because this Bible shows you exactly who you are. And there's no hiding from it. Preachers, pastors, Sunday school teachers, doesn't matter who you are, how saved you are. Saved, saved, saved. This Bible shows you who your old man is, the old nature is. And that's why nobody wants to read it anymore. Because how could you kick their idol? Everybody worships himself. What a pity for us to be in that same boat as saved, born-again believers. But that prayer life. See, we can watch people preach. We can listen to people teach. We can learn from other people on their outward things. But prayer is something that's taught by God. Amen. The effort's yours. You put the effort into it. But I'm gonna challenge you. I'm gonna challenge all of us. Pray. Get down and pray. And when you've got nothing to say, ask God to fill your mouth. And he'll fill it with things to pray about. He'll fill it with praise. He'll fill it with problems that he can answer. He'll fill it with potential by trusting him in his strength. But pray. Every great revival that has ever happened happened on the back of prayer. I heard Brother Earl say one time, he said, well, I had a preacher ask me one time, if you could only pray or read your Bible, what would you do? He said, pray. I thought, man, I don't know about that. I have to think about that. I have to pray about that one. But you know, it's true, because if you can't pray, how do you know what you're getting out of your Bibles right? I think you ought to prayerfully read this book, because the devil will mess you up in it if you're not careful. I think a good place to start is prayer. Amen. I believe Peter was able to be successful later on down the road for Christ, Christ living through him because of prayer. And I believe that missed opportunity for him and the disciples was watching the example of Jesus Christ. They went to sleep. That's where saved people are in 2021. They're asleep. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Read your Bible. Pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. Thank you for the biscuits. Honestly, pray. I've read a couple books by different men that prayed fervently. Some of them don't believe, some of them are wrong on some stuff in the Bible, just flat wrong. But they knew how to get a hold of God. Amen. E.M. Bounds, doctrinally off on some things. But that man wrote seven books on prayer. Good night. There's some good stuff in there. John Hyde, the Praying Hyde. You would not believe not only the answers to prayer, but how people would look at John Hyde and say, man, that guy gets his prayer answered. They would look at John and think, what are you doing? All you do, you're ate up. And they'd see God show up and answer prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. Why? Because he prayed. Not this vain repetition. And I'm not saying don't keep praying for the same thing. I'm just talking about not going through a ritual. Prayer is something you can only learn from God. Amen. Ask him. His disciples were saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And he not only taught them, he gave them an outline of what to pray. But he also taught them to pray. And because Peter went through that class and passed, God used him like he never would have or could have before. He'll do the same thing for any of us. He'll do the same thing with this church if we get serious about getting a hold of him. He knows how to get a hold of you, amen. You get a hold of your net. He'll wring you out in that Bible.
Amen.
But getting a hold of him and allowing him to get a hold of your heart, that happens in prayer.